Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts in the 27th chapter as we hear about Paul on his journey to Rome as he has set sail as a captive, a prisoner, to go before the emperor for trial. Beginning with verse 27. And when the 14th night of the storm had come, and as we were drifting across the Sea of Adria, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took soundings and found 20 fathoms. A little further, they took soundings again and found 15 fathoms. Fearing that they might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. But the sailors tried to escape from the ship and had lowered the boat into the sea on the pretext of putting out anchors from the bow. And Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and set it adrift. Just before daybreak, Paul urged all of them to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have been in suspense and remained without food, having eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will help you survive, for none of you will lose a hair from your heads." After he had said this, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then all of them were encouraged and took food for themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. After they had satisfied their hunger, they lightened the ship by throwing the wheat into the sea. In the morning, they did not recognize the land, but noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned to run the ship ashore, if they could. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea. And at the same time, they loosened the ropes that had tied the steering oars. Then, hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a reef, they ran the ship aground, and the bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the force of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill all the prisoners, so that none of them might swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land, and the rest to follow, some on planks and others on pieces of the ship. And so it was that they were all brought safely to land. And when we reached safety, we learned that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness. Since it had begun to rain and was cold, they kindled a fire and welcomed all of us around it. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The last couple of weeks, we have been reading through a few scriptures that had the threat of shipwreck in them. We heard the story of Jonah in a boat that had wind and waves crashing against it, the wrath of God raining down on this ship headed in the opposite way from the way that Jonah was commanded to go. And so Jonah asks to be thrown overboard so that those on the ship will be saved. And after trying some alternatives, they decide to go with that and toss Jonah overboard, and the water stills. Last week we heard of the disciples and Jesus getting into a boat to go across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to bring Jesus' ministry to new people. And as they're getting partway across the water, the wind comes up and waves start to beat against the boat, and these lifelong fishermen are terrified. So you know it's a bad storm. And finally, they run to Jesus and wake him up. shake him and ask him why is he letting them die, which is not a kind way to wake someone up. And yet Jesus, full of grace, says to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." And the weather calms immediately. Today we come face to face with, once again, bad weather on a ship. This time the stakes are a little higher. They're on the Mediterranean. And it doesn't go so well. This week we actually have a full-blown shipwreck, which is getting us prepared because we're going to be shipwrecked on an island this week, so we need to get in the right mindset. So why not journey with Paul through some stormy waters, find ourselves shipwrecked with Paul on the island of Malta? Throughout Vacation Bible School this coming week, we're going to learn about the one who can rescue us when we are shipwrecked. So I hope you come back for Vacation Bible School, and at least, if nothing else, come back next week so you get to hear the rest of the story. You see, Paul was on a boat because he was accused of some crimes. Now, he was innocent of what he was accused of, but they still determined that Paul would need to stand trial. And Paul, in the place where he had been when he was accused, kept asking for his citizenship in Rome to be recognized. You see, Rome was the occupying force in the land, and Paul, after all, was a Roman citizen. He wanted a fair trial, and so he asked each court as he went before them to stand trial to recognize his citizenship and to try him in Rome instead. And so one after another, all the way up the chain, all the way to the governor, Paul's request is heard over and over. And finally, the emperor hears Paul and says, "Sure, we'll ship you off to Rome so that the emperor himself can try you." So they get a special escort of the emperor's guards and soldiers together. Along with other prisoners, Paul is placed on a ship with these soldiers and the sailing crew, and they head out towards Rome. On his way towards Rome, Paul speaks occasionally with the captain, the one who's in charge of the emperor's special troops, who's transporting Paul and these other prisoners so that they can stand trial. And as they're making this journey, they keep running into problems. They set sail, but have delay after delay and setback after setback. They should have been in Rome by now, but they've only managed to reach Crete, a small island in the Mediterranean Sea. And the timing has gone so bad that it is getting late in the season, and it will not be safe to set sail continuing across the Mediterranean as the wintry weather sets in. So Paul advises the captain not to leave the safe harbor of Crete, to winter it out in Crete, and then to set sail once it is safe again, and to head on to Rome. But the captain and the soldiers don't listen, because they know that the harbor in Crete is not a good place to spend the winter. It's not safe for ships to stay in the harbor at Crete. They fear damage to the ship, and so they decide to set sail anyway. Well, what do you know? A big storm comes up. Wind and waves like you have not seen. And they crash against the boat. And the soldiers and the sailors and the prisoners all begin to fear for their lives. And so they begin to do what they can to keep the boat as safe and upright as possible. So they lower the sails. They tie up the rudder. They wrap ropes around the ship to hold it together. It's still not enough. So they begin to take cargo and throw it overboard. One of the first things they throw overboard is their food. Now, These weren't the smartest seafarers. Throwing their food out quickly might not have been the best decision they made, but it might tell you just how much of a panic they are in. Next, they throw off all the gear they need, the extra sails in case they get holes, the extra ropes, all of the gear that they would need on a long voyage. It all goes to the bottom of the sea as well. Now, nothing can go wrong, for they have no food and no gear. And yet the storm still persists. It's so bad that they don't see the stars or the sun for 2 weeks. All they see are the clouds of the storm and the rain that it pours down upon them. Now, it rained here yesterday and we didn't see much of the sun, and that was a little disheartening. But can you imagine rain and storm so bad you don't see the sun or the stars for 2 weeks? That's a bad storm. And that is what this crew is facing. And the wind is strong and drives up the waves all the higher. It's a bad situation, and it seems hopeless. And the sailors are certain that they won't be saved and that they will perish at sea. But finally, after 14 days and 14 nights, some of the sailors say, "We think we see land in the distance." So they let down ropes to see how far the bottom of the sea is. And they take measurement, and they wait a little while, and they take another measurement. And it does seem that they are getting closer to shore. So they let down some anchors because they don't want to hit the rocks and have their boat smashed up. And they wait for the light of the day to come. But the sailors are a little bit sneaky. They act like they're putting anchors off the back, and they drop 4 anchors off the stern of the ship. And then they go to the front, and they act like they're dropping off a couple of more anchors off the front, except they're not anchors. They're the ropes that hold the lifeboat. They've decided they don't trust that they'll make it through the storm. So they're going to save themselves while they can. They figure under the cover of darkness they can hop in the life raft and head off to shore themselves, and leave the rest in the ship to fend for themselves in the storm. But Paul notices what's gone on, and he lets the captain know what they're up to, and tells the captain nobody can be saved if they run off in the lifeboat. So the captain tells the soldiers, "Go cut the ropes on the lifeboat. We'll deal with it as a loss." And so they do. Now, there's no food, no extra gear, and no lifeboat. Morning comes, and they can get a view of the coastline ahead, except it's not a familiar coastline. But they see a beach in a bay and decide to head for that anyway, hoping for the best. So they cut off the anchors and leave them where they are. They free the rudder and begin to sail to the beach. Except that there's a sandbar. And they run the nose of the ship into the sandbar, and it gets stuck. So stuck they can't move it no matter what they do. And the wind and the waves are still strong. And they're still beating against the back of the boat. And it's starting to crumble. Pieces of the ship are breaking off from the waves. So the soldiers make a plan. They know they can't lose their captives, so they'll just kill them all before they can escape. But the captain has made friends with Paul. He trusts Paul. He knows that Paul prays to a God who seems to listen to Paul. So he wants to spare Paul. And in sparing Paul, he knows he can't give him special treatment or that will look poorly. So he tells the soldiers that they can kill no one. And instead gives orders that everyone who can swim, dive off and swim to the beach. And those who can't swim, grab a piece of the ship that's breaking off and use it as a floaty. And the waves will push you to the beach. And so they head to the shore and they make it. All 276 people make it safely to the beach. Turns out that beach is a part of the island of Malta. Malta, where on February 10th of every year, there's a national feast and holiday to celebrate Paul bringing the good news of the gospel to the people of Malta. Even in the midst of a bad shipwreck, in the midst of being imprisoned and held captive, Paul still remembers God. Paul still prays to God, and Paul is heard by God. In the midst of this worst storm of his life, Paul trusts in God, and God rescues Paul over and over again. My prayer is that for each of us, in the midst of life's storms, and after the storm, when our feet are on solid ground, just like Paul's landed in Malta, that we are confident that God will see us through. This week in Vacation Bible School, we're going to hear about how Jesus is with us, how Jesus is with us when we're lonely, when we're worried, when we struggle, when we do wrong, and when we seem powerless to help ourselves. Our children in our community are facing times where they are lonely, where they struggle, when they're worried, when they do wrong, and when they feel powerless to change the situations that they're in. And we're going to tell them that even when things in life seem like it's a shipwreck, like Paul in that boat falling apart, his nose run into the sandbar, that there is still hope. So to hear more about that hope, come to Vacation Bible School and come back to church next week, because we'll share all about that. Because it's not that we stay in loneliness or that we stay in worry. We don't stay in being wronged. We don't stay in the struggle, and we don't stay in being powerless. God doesn't leave us in the shipwreck. And that's good news. In fact, it's the best news. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, we're going to hear about some of the work that was done as an extension of this congregation, ways that those from our midst have been in service to others, those who have stood with those who have felt powerless, who have felt lonely, who have struggled, who have been worried, and how they were able to be the light of Christ for others. So Candy, will you share with us?
So I'm going to be back here, but I want everybody to focus on the screen, please. First, I want everybody to know that Camp Joy is a youth mission project, and it was started back in 1990, and we are helping the people of Morgan County, West Virginia. People apply for whatever they think they need. These people have to qualify. So they're elderly, they're handicapped, they're low income, and they need our help in some way or another. We were able to break up into four groups this year. We had 14 people, 14 young adults, young youth, and we had 8 leaders. and we were able to break up into four groups. When we first get our jobs, we go out and we look at what we need. Dean Lumber Company is very wonderful in helping us get our lumber needs and whatever other tools that we may need. The church does pay for that, but that comes from donations from the congregation. And so, but Dean Lumber does always give us a nice discount too. So we always thank them for that. So when we go out, we look at our projects and we figure out what we need to do. This year, in the very beginning, we were given three projects that we were able to see, and then a week later, we were given a fourth. In total, we did eight projects because once we were there and we finished the first four, we also did four more projects. So the first projects, you'll see what we have going on. So, but first, when we get to Camp Joy, we go to Camp Harmison, which is in Morgan County. It's right outside of Berkeley Spring, and everybody camps in a tent. Well, almost everybody. Some people camp in campers. Some adults do. But most everybody camps in tents, and they use air mattresses. Some of them sleep on the ground or a cot, but it's not too bad. The nights, this past week, the lowest that it got was, I think, 53 when we woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And the warmest was 75. But it stayed mainly in the 60s at night. It was good sleeping weather. We had four tents for youth this year. Our first work site is Miss Thomas's home. If you worked on Miss Thomas's home, can you stand up, please? Miss Thomas's. Okay, just give a little look around at who worked on Miss Thomas's home. Thank you. Now, Miss Thomas started out with this makeshift ramp that she did on her own, and because she couldn't walk up and down the steps. Miss Thomas has a broken back, and she needed something that she could go up more easily. Here we have Annie working, and Ian, and this was the finished product. Greg and Scott, they were the heads on this, they were the leaders on this, and it's actually a ramp, and then a landing, and then another ramp. This made this a lot easier for her. Like I said, she has a broken back. She likes to do, she's very crafty. She likes to do woodwork. And in order to do her woodwork, she can only work like for 3 hours a day. So, and this is the team with Miss Thomas. Miss Thomas is in the tank top standing next to Scott. Martinez home. If you worked on the Martinez home, can you please stand? Thank you. And the Martinez home, we had to dig a trench, and it was between 30 and 40 feet. They were getting rain in their house, and so we had to build a trench, dig a trench, put up gutter, and they also did a replacement on a window too, fixed a window. This is the trench. And this is the window they needed to repair. Here's Will and Georgina repairing that window. And this is them putting up the gutter. I think that's Mason up there. And then this is the Martinez family. Mr. Martinez in the front, his first name is Perfecto, which we all thought was pretty awesome. And that is really his name. And he helped the team a lot. He's a contractor by trade, but is out of work right now and can't find work. So he helped the team a lot. This is the Schmeling home. In your bulletin, there is a letter from Mrs. Schmeling, and thanking the team for her, for what we did for her. She was just so sweet. If you worked on the Schmeling home, please stand. So, and I was on that team as well as Janet McGovern. And the first day, this is her porch, and we painted the inside of her porch. And we had to take everything out of there. We had to wash everything that needed to be painted, and then we painted. We did all this in a day. And that was me, Janet, Caitlin, and Amelia. Then on day two, Larry and Beth's crew came over, and we mulched her beautiful garden. It was a well-loved garden at one time, you could tell, but as the years have gone on, they've lived in the house 50 years. As the years have gone on, they just haven't been able to keep up with it. I don't have a, this is the before shot of the inside. The lighting was not very good to really see the change in this, but there's Caitlin. And we also had to caulk the windows. It's Amelia helping with the windows. And this was a window that needed to be replaced. Larry and Jeffrey worked on that window. And because of the age of the windows, there's a lot of caulk and a lot of just needed to be slimmed down a little bit to get a new window pane in there. This is the team working with the mulch. As you can see, the garden, it really is a pretty garden, and we mulched the garden. That mulch had sat there for 3 years, she told us. Mr. Schmeling is a 6'9" man. He is bedridden, and he lost a leg about 5 to 10 years ago. I'm not real sure on how long ago it was. But then recently, he's got an infection in his body where he has to stay in bed. And this is the two different days with Mrs. Schmeling. This is the Nyssen house. If you worked on Nyssen house, can you stand, please? Okay, thank you. And this is the ramp, and what the team did is they didn't take out the whole ramp. They replaced what needed to be replaced and made this ramp better. If you look on the right, the deck had sunk about 2 to 3 inches. Miss Nyssen is in a wheelchair and only has one leg. And she could not get in and out of that door. So what they did was they raised the landing so she could come out and then repaired her ramp. Here's Alex working on that. As you can see how they're replacing the railings. They also added a gutter over top of her door. One of the problems, there was the erosion under the deck, which is why the deck had sunk. And there was no gutters on this trailer at all. So they added that gutter to prevent the rainwater from making that deteriorate. Here's the team with Miss Nyssen. This is Mr. Lee's home. Mr. Lee, Camp Joy found out about Mr. Lee on Wednesday. Or actually, probably Tuesday. I think we went to see him on Wednesday. And Camp Joy didn't even know about him. And what had happened was his house had burned down. And this was some of the wood that he was able to salvage. And he built this house. The house, I have a shed bigger than his house. And he has a makeshift door, and he didn't have any windows to really speak of. So the team put in window, door, And another team painted, another church painted this. If you worked on Mr. Lee's home, can you please stand? We had a lot of people working on Mr. Lee's home. He really needed it. Thank you, guys. We worked on that home for 2 days. This is them putting the window in. There's a window. Like I said, there was other stuff done that we just don't have pictures for. We also got assigned to Miss Mowry's house. Greg said that Miss Mowry needed some screen to put over top of this window, and she just wanted something simple and basic and easy. And so that's what they gave her. They put some screen over that so she could open this window, which is a push-out window, so that she could have some airflow come in. This is Gabby working on that. Gabby, Brendan, and Greg Whitman worked on this house. And then if you look behind Brendan, the door, the stuff that's falling down, she had some screen there as well. To keep the bugs out, and it has fallen down, and so they just replaced that. She didn't want a whole lot of stuff. She didn't want anything fancy. She just wanted it simple, and so this is the screen that they put in there for her. And they also the steps behind Gabby here were not attached to that deck either, and they added those to her deck so she could get on and off of her deck. This is Mrs. Dean. She, this was with me and Janet and Caitlin and Amelia again. And again, we're painting, and we were getting it ready for Hancock United Methodist, who came the second week, and they did, they fixed like her spindles on her, around her deck, and they fixed her railing. We just painted it ahead of time, and then they took care of the, we didn't have anything to cut wood with or anything with our team. And a little bit of paint, well, two coats of paint, I should say. We painted for 2 days. Dressed this little, dressed it up real nice. So yeah, Hancock came and they finished that off and replaced some spindles and that kind of thing. They also fixed the window that's off to the left there. And there's Miss Dean. So those are our work sites. Every night we do Vespers, which is a youth-led devotional service night, and we do a lot of singing. We sing a lot of songs, and every night the youth come up and they tell what they've done for the day. So one of my youth in my team might say, today we're at Mrs. Dean's house and we scrape paint, and tomorrow we're going to paint the porch. And they might have a God sighting that they would like to share at that time as well. I shared a God sighting that when we were at the Schmeling's house, Mr. Schmeling, again, is 6'9". He's bedridden, so he kind of sometimes slides down in his bed a little bit. And when I asked the three boys that were there, I said, hey, guys, can you guys come and help Mr. Schmeling kind of boost him up a little bit? I didn't get a wince or a I don't know or anything like that. They just stepped right up and went and helped Mr. Schmeling in his bed and pulled him up, and that was my God sighting. I was really proud of them. On the last night of Vespers, we have a bonfire, and we also do communion. This is basically what it looks like on a regular night. And the kids can come up and they can sing and lead worship. Every once a week, a different church will go up and do a skit or something for the night. And we did a skit that we performed during Youth Sunday. This year we added something a little different. Actually, it was done several years back before I started going to Camp Joy, but we started daily devotionals. And I assigned a student to do a devotional every day. And they got to pick their devotional, and they shared it with the group. It was 5 to 10 minutes, and we started our day off with that. In these pictures, we have Mason and Ian doing our devotional in the morning. The kids really enjoy it. They said they want to keep doing that. Food, oh my goodness. Do we get fed, and we get fed well. We have churches in the area that feed us. They come in at 4:30 in the morning and start breakfast. Eggs, bacon, waffles, sausage, cereal, whatever our little heart's desire is there. And we eat that in the pavilion. That's your right lower picture. And then on the left is dinner. The top picture is Catholic spaghetti night, which is probably most of our favorites. And the lower picture on the left is Church of God fried chicken. So, we have some good food. And while we're there, it's 7-Eleven day, which means free Slurpees. And we always go by 7-Eleven to get a free Slurpee. So, and when you work, you got to have some fun so you can still have, you know, be ready for work. You got to have a little time off. So sometimes we get a little painty and a little silliness, Amelia and Caitlin. We also go to Kekapin on Wednesday. That's a Kekapin State Park. It's a beautiful state park. If you ever want to go to a state park, it's a very nice park in West Virginia. And they have a lake. The kids get to go to the lake. The bottom picture is at the top of the mountain. Very nice. And we have fun when we're at our campsite as well. The kids are in a stream that we have right at the campsite, and if they have an hour that they can go in there, they will, and they always have a good time doing that. And then to your left is a Scott sandwich. We went to the springs in Berkeley, and we dip our feet in, and the guppies come and nibble at our toes. And we want to thank everybody for supporting our youth mission trip to Camp Joy every year. And if you want to give to the Camp Joy mission trip, just on your envelope, just write down that you're giving for Camp Joy. And the money will go directly to helping out the people in Camp Joy, because we use that money to buy our supplies and everything. And we want to thank everybody for helping us out. If you were part of Camp Joy this year, can you please stand up? Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody.